Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We are continuing our Sunday morning series through this New Testament letter to believers. It helps us understand the journey of faith as sojourners. We are not meant for this earth. We are meant for eternity in heaven. And I do want to point out that last song we sang, One Gospel, one of my favorite modern hymns that Pastor Aaron has introduced for us. We sang that at church conference because there's only one gospel, and that's what we stand on. 1 Peter chapter 1, we are looking at salvation. The transitional phrase concerning this salvation is the title of the message. That is the linchpin from which everything else follows in the scriptural text. So everything we talk about will be concerning this salvation. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about salvation again? It's because it's what Scripture has in front of us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about being born again, the blessing and benefits of salvation. Last week, we talked about the great gift we have in salvation. Though everything else fails, everything else crumbles, we still have this salvation, even if it's tried by fire. I want to talk to you about salvation. We'll take up the Scripture text in verse number 10 and read through verse number 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. We will see in the Scripture text the story of salvation, how the prophets, in an onward fashion, detailed the work of the Christ about salvation, which results in grace. Now, concerning the salvation, let me give you the classic three preacher points, okay? The first concerning the salvation, the prophets gave the introduction. The prophets gave the introduction. The prophets of old received a message from the Holy Spirit, and they went and told the people of God the message of God. So for those in the King James translation, whenever a prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord," he was saying, this message is from God, not from me. A prophet always revealed the truth of God and the message of God concerning the people of God. Now, oftentimes there were false prophets, someone who spoke a non-factual or a fake message. And the Old Testament scripture said, you never listen to false prophets. If something they say doesn't come true, send them out. Take them out of the picture. Now, the prophets received some specific messages regarding the Christ, regarding Lord Jesus. They did not have the full knowledge you and I have. Now, oftentimes they gave messianic prophecies, details concerning Christ that were very specific. But the prophets did not receive the full details that you and I have. You say, Pastor, how is that so? Because it says they searched and inquired carefully. They knew a percentage of God's message, but they did not know the full counsel. Now, regarding Jesus, Deuteronomy 18:18, speaking of him as a prophet, Moses tells the people of Israel, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. The prophet said, there is someone coming greater than us. One of the greatest prophets is John the Baptist. He says, I can't even stoop to tie his sandal. I must decrease, he must increase. Now, the prophets gave the introduction. Now, the prophets did know the Christ will come. They did know he will come, but there were still questions. That's something with the prophets I underlined. They still had questions. What type of person regarding the Christ? What person? And then what time? The prophets knew a kernel of truth, but they didn't know everything else surrounding it. They were grasping about facts about our Savior. They had a problem understanding the suffering. They knew it was going to happen. They also understood in some way the subsequent glories. But if you put those two together, it doesn't make sense. How is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, how is he going to suffer and yet have subsequent glory? Well, Isaiah 53, one of the most familiar passages regarding the Messiah in the Old Testament. We say it's messianic prophecy. You're very familiar with Isaiah 53, 1 through 6, but let me show you 7 through 12. Speaking of Christ, hundreds, thousands of years before he came on this earth, speaking of the Christ, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. They knew, the prophets knew the Messiah would come. They knew a lot of details, but they didn't know everything. They still had questions. They still had issues that needed answers. But I want you to understand about the prophets. The prophets are just giving the introduction. The main idea of the text is Christ, obviously. The prophets, as good as they were people like you and I. Speaking in the book of James concerning Elijah, one of the great prophets of old, he is a man like us. We had questions. We have issues. The prophets gave an introduction. When my wife and I were newlyweds, we were living in Memphis, and our church was holding a missions banquet, and I wanted to go to it because the keynote speaker is Steve Saint, or was Steve Saint. He's one of my heroes of the faith. I've got two of his books in my office. One of the greatest book on missions, written by Steve Saint, The Great Omission, about training and discipling your congregants. So he was going to be there, but I did not want to buy tickets. I don't know if anyone else has that problem. I don't want to spend that money. So we had some retired missionaries in our church that we were close with, Tom and Ann Espy. They were missionaries to Wales. Let me say this about them. They lived a life in the United States. Tom retired, and so did Ann. And then whenever they retired, that's when God called them to the mission field. So don't ever tell me you're too old to get excited about missions. So they were missionaries to Wales. They had us over for tea one afternoon. And so Tom and Ann invited us to this missions banquet to hear Steve Saint. The price was very good. The food was very good, both free. And so food is always better when you don't pay for it or where you don't fix it, right? And so I'm ready to hear Steve Saint. His father was a missionary who got murdered in Ecuador by the Wadani tribe. If you've seen the movie End of the Spear or read that book, that's about Steve Saint. His father and other missionaries were murdered or martyred on the mission field. And Steve lost his father, Nate, when he was very young. But Steve felt compelled to go back to Ecuador in the Amazon jungle to reach this tribe for Christ. It turned out that he led the man who murdered his father to Christ. Now that Minkaya became his adopted father. That tribe turned to Christ. I'm there to hear Steve Saint, and oddly enough, he brought Minkaya with him to the States. I want to hear this story. I want to hear their missional challenge. But who gets up before them? The missions pastor at our church, Steve Markham, giving these announcements, talking about this, that, and the other. Well, he'll give the brief biographical sketch of Steve Saint and Minkaya. I'm not there to listen to my missions pastor. Now, I love Steve Markham. He was on my ordination council. He helped in my questioning. He was a great supporter of the sportsman's ministry there. I love Steve Markham, but I'm not here to hear Steve Markham. I'm here to hear the main event. I don't want the introduction. I want the keynote speaker. When we think of the prophets, understand this about them. They're merely giving an introduction. An introduction in a letter or in preaching. Introduction means you're going to tell them what you're going to tell them. That's all it is. All they do is introduce us to Christ. So back in 1 Peter chapter 1, back in verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. And the things that have now been announced to you through those who have preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The prophets gave the introduction, but the main theme, the central event, is the Lord Jesus. Number two, the Lord made it possible. And it means salvation. Now the prophets prepared the way. Speaking of John the Baptist, they prepared others with the message of hope that is yet to come. The message of hope in salvation, but the work of salvation can only happen through the Christ. The prophets and their preaching or prophesying can never give salvation. Only Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, can give salvation. You say, Pastor, how is that so? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me explain it to you. We can't achieve salvation because of the price of sin. You see, the price of sin is steep. One sin makes you lose everything. The cost of one sin is death and eternal separation and love from God. And you and I, because we've failed, because we've missed the mark, Scripture has said, we can never meet that price of sin. You say, Pastor, then who can pay for that price? I'm glad you asked, because the price of sin calls the perfection of the Savior. Only Jesus is qualified to meet the demands of salvation set forth by a holy God. Only him, because he never sinned. He never failed. He and he alone is the only one fit for the job. He's the only one qualified because he's perfect. I don't know if any of you have ever felt like you're in over your head in your job. If you've never felt that way, surrender to ministry. On a regular basis, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. A few years ago, there was a situation in our community that happened associated with the school district. And there's some situations you're like, I'm glad that happened with them and not with our church. But turns out that situation spilled out from the community and found its way into our church. Now, this was also a legal issue. Now, I know a lot about theology and preaching and ministry, but I will tell you this, I don't know the legal system. I don't know legal ramifications. I quickly found out I'm not qualified to make some decisions. So I called my friend Chris, who was pastoring not too far from me. We went to seminary together. In fact, at seminary, I lived above him. And he says, "What are you and your wife doing stomping around all the time? We're just walking." "Come on, Chris. Give me the name of the lawyer you refer to." Now, there is a lawyer in the state of Arkansas that the Arkansas Baptist Convention would seek out for legal help. I got his number, and I called him. I said, "Hey, you don't know me, but here's the situation. What do I do?" He said, "Do not sign anything." Now, let me give you some free legal advice. Don't sign anything. Because that was one of the big stipulations. "We're going to have this contract for you, Pastor. We want you to sign it." He said, "Don't ever sign it." I said, "Great." And then I explained the situation, and he explained some things to do and things not to do. And the reason I bring this up, I was not qualified, I was not in the right position to make those decisions for me in the church. He was. And so in those situations, you have to refer to the qualified individual to make the decision or make it happen. You're not perfect. You've sinned. You can't earn salvation. You've got to defer to the qualified party. You've got to place your faith in Jesus Christ because he's perfect. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A Lamb without spot or blemish. That is the perfection of the Savior. But I also want to throw a caveat upon this. It's the precision of Scripture. Jesus has fulfilled the messianic prophecies concerning him that the Holy Spirit of God gave the Old Testament prophets. He's fulfilled it. He met the need. In fact, Luke chapter 23, you'll find this is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 in this regard. And he said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said nothing. Shortly before the betrayal in the garden, he said to them, "But now, let the one who has a money bag take it, likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." Now here's the emphasis. "For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors. "For what is written about me has its fulfillment." The price of sin, the perfection of the Savior, but also the precision of Scripture. What happened in that through the work of Christ? Salvation. Salvation, a free gift of God. Always referred to as grace, something you don't earn, something you can't keep, something you can't work your way to on one day. It's grace. It means undeserved benefits or blessings. It's a gift. The salvation was achieved through the suffering of Christ. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but by his stripes, by his suffering, we were healed. Because he poured out his soul to death, we have life. And that is a gift. He endured our punishment so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. The prophets gave the introduction. The Lord made it possible. But go back to the text, 1 Peter chapter 1, 10 and following. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The prophets gave the introduction. The Lord made it possible. But number three, we receive the blessing. Concerning the salvation, we receive the blessing. Now, the Lord is the main focus of the text, absolutely. And the prophets, they give a prequel. They're nothing more than the opening act, the introduction of the guest speaker or the event. However, all the application is yours. We get all the benefits and blessings. Now, if we can read in between and skip lines, the prophets prophesied about the grace of salvation in verse 10. It says, it's yours. This grace is yours. Although they didn't know about all the details and the particulars, they knew the Messiah was coming. They didn't know all about the person. They didn't know about the time, but they knew he's coming and said, I want to tell you about him. We know completely about Christ. They didn't. We get the blessing. We get the benefit. They prophesied about the grace that was to us. Not only that, verse 12 said, the prophets were not serving themselves, serving you. You. This great story of salvation through the eons that culminated on the hill of Golgotha, all of that flows to you. The prophets had questions upon questions. They had a kernel of truth, but didn't know everything else other than that. But you have all the answers in Christ. It makes complete sense to us. And not only was it service to us in verse 12, they said the prophets and also the preachers in the new covenant did this for you. All of this for you. Salvation for you. Now Christ is the focus, but you're the application. The prophets announced, the preachers preached all of this gospel to you. The blessing goes to us. Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is that man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Hear me, this wonderful description of salvation that flowed through the prophets, swirled at the cross, gives grace to you. The blessing and benefit of being born again. But we have to describe salvation in terms of grace. It's like a gift, the gift of grace. Every holiday, every Father's Day, every birthday, I tell my family the same thing. Don't give me anything. Ultimately, I pay for it, so don't give me anything. We all know that. We all feel that. You know what my wife and kids always do? They disrespect their father, their husband. And they say, we got this for you. Now, here's something God has softened my heart on over the years. And no matter what, if someone offers me a gift, I take it. I can look back in my ministry, and I had church members want to give me something, and selfishly I said no. Out of pride, I said no. And I could see the hurt on Brian's face when I told him no at that event I was at. Whenever someone gives me a gift, I receive it, no matter if I want it or not. No matter if it means trouble and hardship for me, I got to receive that gift. I want you to understand salvation in terms of the gift being offered to you. All you have to do is receive it. Now, you didn't earn it. You don't work to keep it. But all you have to do is receive grace. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? It's simple. You believe in your heart, Romans 10 says. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father, that God raised him on the third day after he passed from the cross. That's so simple, receiving salvation. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, do that today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Salvation is for you to receive. You say, Pastor, I've been saved. Well, all these details we receive of salvation I believe, should grow your understanding of salvation. It should deepen. As your knowledge grows, so should your devotion. You should love Jesus more today than you did yesterday. And over the culmination of 3 weeks talking about salvation, you should say, wow, this salvation is so wonderful. Jesus, I love you more. Concerning this salvation, is to change the way we live, the way we talk, the way we operate. This salvation should be what our church is known for. If we're going to be guilty of anything, I know I'm getting ahead of myself in 1 Peter, be guilty of loving Jesus and his story of grace. If you need to make a decision concerning salvation, whether it be professing faith here and now, I'll be down front in just a moment, and I want to speak with you. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you to give your life to Christ. Maybe there's other decisions that you've never made. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never joined a church or joined this church. Those are decisions I want you to entertain, questions that I want you to find the answer to. But maybe, as a sojourner of faith, as a pilgrim on this earth, you say, Pastor, I've got stuff in my life that just hurts. It wears me down. I've got people in my family. I've got people at my work I want to pray for. If that's you today, or if you're listening online, pray to God. Why put off what you need to do right now? If you need to be saved, if you need to grow in that salvation, come to me. Let's do this for Christ. Father, we thank you for the author of salvation, Jesus, who poured out his soul to death that was numbered among the transgressors. Thank you for the message we can trace of the prophets that ultimately leads us to the cross. And Father, I pray all those here and those listening online would trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation in him alone. Father, it's not good works that gets us to you. It's the perfection of Jesus Christ. And Father, if someone needs to make that decision today, may they do that. Lord, for those who need to make other decisions and keeping in walk with you, whether they're very formal or, Father, in the private moment of their soul, where they do business with you. But Father, I pray that you would turn this time to a time of response as we look into our hearts to see the nature of what we place upon you. Father, work in hearts that are weary and heavy laden. May we find rest in you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.